I was getting A's in all my classes, but I wasn't being challenged, and I wasn't thinking about new things, she told a Times reporter. One semester, though, Ms. Schmidt had to take a natural science course, and it turned out to have a great professor and teaching assistants who stoked her curiosity and lit a fire in her. I was lucky, she said. I took a class from somebody who really cared. The result? A scientist was born. Many more science courses later, Ms. Schmidt was accepted to graduate school at UCLA in planetary physics and at the University of Chicago in cosmochemistry. You can't light the fire of passion in someone else if it doesn't burn in you to begin with. Hillary Rooney, the principal of Laytonsville Elementary School in Maryland's Montgomery County, came up to me after a lecture one day and told me that what she looked for in hiring teachers was one simple thing, whether they loved kids. Because if you don't connect with kids, you will never be able to convey the material, she said. If you can't feel the music, you'll never be able to play the music. But if you love kids, she said, and you convey that, even if you don't really know that much about the subject you're teaching, they will be inspired by you, and they will go out and learn it themselves. I can teach anyone a strategy, but I can't teach a person to love kids. And you can feel it in a classroom as soon as you walk in, whether that teacher loves kids. Kids at the elementary level all love their teachers, but boy, you can see the teachers who love those kids back. They motivate those kids to keep trying to do their best for that teacher. The kids are really doing it for themselves, but if they see that teacher really cares, is invested in their learning, that child will never be turned off. That is what real learning is. Is it possible to generate your own high PQ, a high passion quotient for a subject, without a teacher or parent stimulating you? Of course. Just think back to when you were a kid and you got your first fire truck or doll or doctor's kit or astronaut's helmet, and you told everyone you wanted to be a fireman or a fashion model or a doctor or an astronaut when you grew up. That innocent passion for a certain job, without knowing the salary or the working hours or the preparation required, is what you need to get back in touch with. It's that childlike feeling of, I want to do that because I want to do that, and I don't have to explain why, that we all need to rediscover. To put it simply, you need to rediscover your inner fire truck. We all have one, and when you find it, you'll know it. Stressing liberal arts. Fourth, since one of the new middle jobs is great synthesizers, encouraging young people early to think horizontally and to connect disparate dots has to be a priority, because this is where and how so much innovation happens. But first, you need dots to connect. And to me, that means a liberal arts education. Liberal arts is a very horizontal form of education, which is to say, a flat form of education. It is all about making connections among history, art, politics, and science. Yes, we need to be more rigorous in training our young people in math and science, which are the building blocks of so much knowledge. But we also need to be vigilant in upholding the teaching of art and music and literature, because they too are essential for innovation. I like how Mark Tucker, who heads the National Center on Education and the Economy, puts it. One thing we know about creativity is that it typically occurs when people who have mastered two or more quite different fields use the framework in one to think afresh about the other. Intuitively, you know this is true. Leonardo da Vinci was a great artist, scientist, and inventor, and each specialty nourished the other. He was a great lateral thinker. But if you spend your whole life in one silo, you will never have either the knowledge or mental agility to do the synthesis, connect the dots, which is usually where the next great breakthrough is found. One of the best examples of that I can think of is the story that Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple Computer, told about himself in a commencement speech at Stanford University, June 12, 2005. I am honored to be with you today at your commencement from one of the finest universities in the world. I never graduated from college. Truth be told, this is the closest I've ever gotten to a college graduation. Today, I want to tell you three stories from my life. The first story is about connecting the dots. I dropped out of Reed College after the first 6 months, but then stayed around as a drop-in for another 18 months or so before I really quit. So why did I drop out? It started before I was born. My biological mother was a young, unwed college graduate student, and she decided to put me up for adoption. She felt very strongly that I should be adopted by college graduates, so everything was all set for me to be adopted at birth by a lawyer and his wife. Except that when I popped out, they decided at the last minute that they really wanted a girl. So my parents, who were on a waiting list, got a call in the middle of the night asking, "We have an unexpected baby boy. Do you want him?" They said, "Of course." My biological mother later found out that my mother had never graduated from college and that my father had never graduated from high school. She refused to sign the final adoption papers. She only relented a few months later when my parents promised that I would someday go to college. And 17 years later, I did go to college. But I naively chose a college that was almost as expensive as Stanford, and all of my working-class parents' savings were being spent on my college tuition. After 6 months, I couldn't see the value in it. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life and no idea how college was going to help me figure it out. And here I was spending all of the money my parents had saved their entire lives. So I decided to drop out and trust that it would all work out okay. It was pretty scary at the time, but looking back, it was one of the best decisions I ever made. The minute I dropped out, I could stop taking the required classes that didn't interest me and begin dropping in on the ones that looked interesting. It wasn't all romantic. I didn't have a dorm room, so I slept on the floor in friends' rooms. I returned Coke bottles for the 5-cent deposits to buy food with, and I would walk the 7 miles across town every Sunday night to get one good meal a week at the Hare Krishna temple. I loved it. And much of what I stumbled into by following my curiosity and intuition turned out to be priceless later on. Let me give you one example.